अद्वैत आचार्य चाय गुरु भक्त वृंद
जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय अद्वैत आचार्य जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद
जय अद्वैत आचार्य जय गौर भक्त वृंद
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24, the 61 explanations of the Atmarama verse.
今天我们继续来讲解《永恒的璀璨念经》，是《Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila》中篇逍遥的第24章，有关 Atmaram 失节的61种解释。这是什么声音啊？哈利波，你的话筒没有关掉。
Okay, we continue from this conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Sanatana Goswami.
我们继续来讲主 Chaitanya 和 Sanatana Goswami 之间的对话。
About the position of the self-realized devotee.
我们来看一下一个自我觉悟的奉献者的处境。
And that self-realization may not necessarily mean pure devotion.
但是自我觉悟不一定就意味着是纯粹的奉爱。
Pure devotion is defined by the practicality of the service rendered by the devotee.
纯粹的奉爱体现在一个奉献者实际的做的奉献服务。
And especially by the attitude of the devotee.
啊，尤其是表现在这个奉献者的态度上。
In other words, there are different levels of devotees.
换句话说，奉献者也分成很多的层面。
And not all of them may be pure enough to engage in the Lord's service 100%.
并不是所有的奉献者都完全达到了纯粹的这种奉爱，使得他们能够100%的从事为 Krishna 的奉献服务。
One may understand the meaning of the Vedas.
可能某一个人他对于韦达经的这个意义有所理解。
One may understand and even realize that they are not the body.
也许能够觉悟到自己并不是这个躯体，而是灵魂。
And one may understand their eternal relationship with Krishna.
也许也能理解到和 Krishna 之间的永恒关系。
But this is only the fundamental principles.
但是呢，这些都是属于最基础的一些原则。
Above that, there are those who are totally dedicated and with one-pointed attention in the service of Krishna.
还有一些人都比他们更高，他们可以心无旁骛的、专注的为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
How can one reach such a level?
那么一个人怎么样才能够达到这样的境界呢？
First of all, by being free from, completely free from sinful activities.
首先要完全地摆脱罪恶的活动。
Free from all material desires.
摆脱所有的物质欲望。
And understanding and appreciating the qualities of Krishna.
然后呢，能够真正的觉悟，并且去欣赏到 Krishna 的品格。
So,As it is mentioned in the scriptures, originally there is a little faith.
在经典里面说到呢，起步的时候是需要有些许的信心。
And by associating with the devotees, that faith will increase.
然后通过和奉献者的联谊呢，那种信心就会越来越增强。
But then we have to make an effort to progress on the path.
然后接下来我们就要在这条路上继续的往前走。
And in order to progress, we always need the association of devotees.
如果一个人想要获得进步的话，和奉献者之间的联谊是必不可少的。
So really, the beginning of Krishna consciousness is about really saving ourselves.
所以说费氏呢知觉的这个实际上是始于我们对自己的救赎。
But as we progress, we begin to understand that this is not about us, but this is about Krishna.
但是呢，当我们在这条道路上越来越进步的时候，就会逐渐的理解到，实际上呢，重要的并不是我们，并不是围绕着我们，而是围绕着 Krishna.
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out when he speaks about the different meanings of the word Atmarama.
所以当切坦尼亚马哈帕布在谈到这个 Atmaram 这个词的各种意思的时候，他讲到
Atmarama means self-satisfied.
那 Atmaram 的这个字呢，意思就是自我满足的。
Which means that one no longer relies on the material energy to experience true spiritual happiness.
就是呢，一个人他已不再仰赖于物质的能量去体会灵性的快乐，所以他从内在得到了一种完全的满足。
But then it requires association of the pure devotee to be completely focused on pure devotional service.
但是为了要达到一种心无旁骛的对分爱服务的专注，我们仍然需要纯粹的奉献者的指导。
So.Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the case of Narada Muni.
那现在呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就举了一个例子，也就是 Narada Muni.
And we began to narrate last week the story of Narada Muni with Mugrari, the hunter.
那上一周我们已经开始讲了这个故事了，就是 Narada Muni 和 Mugrari 这个猎人之间的故事。
Now this is a true story which took place a long time ago, not.I'm not sure if it took place in Kali Yuga, but I think it's way before that.
啊，这个故事呢，它发生在远古时代，应该是不只是这个卡利年代了，要比卡利年代之前还要更久更久远的年代。
Because that story is narrated in the Puranas, so it's part of ancient history.
因为这个故事它是在往事书中讲述的，所以呢，它肯定是属于古史中的一部分。
And we have to understand that for a long, long time, there have been people who have a low consciousness.
所以呢，我们就知道在非常远古的这个年代，人们已经有一些人的意识是处于非常低下的状态。
For example, we understand that for the Kshatriyas, the kings and the warriors, between wars, they need to go to the forest and practice the art of archery.By hunting.
比如说呢，像这些国王们，还有一些刹帝利武士们，他们在战争与战争之间，他们呢就会利用这个间歇的这个时间，到森林里面去训练自己的这个打猎的这个技艺，因为他们需要去练一下自己的这个剑术，把这个剑术练得非常的精湛。
But.In practicing hunting, they would kill the animals, but they would not eat them.
但是虽然是他们在森林里打猎，他们也猎杀了这个动物，但是他们把它杀死之后是不吃的。
However, when we talk about Mugrari, we talk about someone who kills to make a living.
但是我们在这里说的这个猎人呢 ，Mugrari 就是不一样了，他是以杀死动物为生的。
And the worst part about Mugrari's situation was that he only half killed the animals. In other words, they were still remaining alive, and then they would suffer until they die.
那么但是呢，这个猎人 Mugrari 呢，更糟糕的就是他从来不一下子就把这个动物给杀死，而是呢还给他们留半条命，所以呢就是眼睁睁的看着这个动物奄奄一息，在痛苦中死去。
So this is not Kshatriya spirit, this is quite low class spirit.
这样子的一种心态是非常低下的，那这完全不是一种刹帝利的心态。
Actually, these kind of individuals are not even classified as members of the Varnashram system.
这样的人根本就不能算在这个 Varnashram 四社会阶层四灵性进阶的这个制度里面了。
Prabhupada explains the Varnashram system means they are Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras.
那 Srila Prabhupada 他解释说呢，说到这个 Varnashram 呢，指的是这个社会的四个阶层。就是婆罗门、刹帝利、Vaishya 和 Shudra。
So, they are the intellectuals, the administrators, the traders, and the labor class.
所以说呢，就有这个知识阶层，然后这个行政管理阶层，还有从事商贸活动的这个商贾阶层，然后最后是劳工阶层。
But these are not the only human beings that exist. There are other classes of men.
但是这四类人并不是唯一存在的这个人类，除了他们这四个阶层之外，还有其他的人。
Because when we look at the Shudras, we may think Shudras are low-class people, but Shudras have a very important role to play in society.
当我们去看到 Shudra 的时候，我们可能会觉得他们好像是四个阶层中最低的，非常低下的一群人。但是事实上，他们对这个社会的贡献是非常大的。
But there are human beings that are classified below Shudras.
但是还有一些人，他是位列这个 Shudra 层次之下的。
And they are categorized as Mlechas and Yavanas and even Rakshasas.
他被称为 Mlecha, Yavanas, and Rakshasas.
So these are human beings who actually don't behave.According to the laws of Varnashram.
也就是说呢，就是根据这个 Varnashram 四社会阶层四灵性进阶的这样的一个制度，这些人都是被认为是非常的低贱的。
Not only they don't behave according to Varnashram, they don't even behave like human beings.
是说从他们的行为来说，不仅是不符合 Varnashram 的这个制度，甚至是人都算不上。
Not only that, they don't even behave like animals.
甚至连动物都及不上。
Why is that?
为什么要这么说呢？
Because animals follow the laws of nature.
因为动物它还是遵循着这个大自然的律法生活的。
So laws of nature will dictate that some animals will eat meat and some animals won't.
那么根据这个大自然的律法呢，动物也分成两类，有一类它们是吃肉的，有一些是不吃肉的。
And by nature, each species will not change their nature; they will stay that way.
根据这个大自然的法则，这些动物它们是不会改变自己的习性的，它们就会一直保持着原来的样子。
Now, the good thing about the human form of life is that even if you areas degraded as those who are below the Shudra level, you can still change. Animals cannot change.
就是说，人类的，就是有了这个人类形体的一个益处，就是在于，即便是你低于这个 Shudra 的，这个阶层，你依然是有机会，改变的。但是作为动物来说，动物的习性是永远没有办法改变。
So,Lord Chaitanya was explaining previously to Rupa Goswami, there are 400,000 different type of human beings.
那前面呢，钱丹尼马哈帕布对 Rupa Goswami 说到呢，这个生物有840万种。
Even here on the Earth planet, there are quite a few hundreds of them.
即便是在这个地球的话，作为人类有好几百种。
But then there are others in other planetary systems, whether in higher or lower.
那不管是高等星球还是低等星球，还是有很多其他的各种各样的那个生物。
So all of these human beings are imbued with the potential for pure bhakti.
那就是这么多的这个星球里面都布满了各种各样的人。其实每一个人，不管他是处于一种什么样的形体之中，他都是有一种潜能的。这种潜能就是说，他有一种纯粹的 bhakti， 纯粹的风还是可以开发出来的。
Something which is very unlikely to happen with animals.
这个就是说，动物几乎是不可能的。
Unless you take the case of Lord Chaitanya making the animals of the jungle chant and dance.
那除非说我们有一个例外，就是在切坦尼亚的逍遥时光里面，在这个森林里面，森林里的这些老虎、大象这些动物都跟随着见到切坦尼亚马哈巴布都翩翩起舞。
Or sometimes you can have dogs that can express symptoms of ecstasy.
也有一些这个动物，它们就是展示出这种狂喜的真相。
Or sometimes you have parrots that chant the holy name.
还有会唱圣名的鹦鹉。
But most likely animals may not take up to pure bhakti.
但是大多数的这个情况下，动物应该都不会直接的到达纯粹的奉爱境界。
So Mugrari the hunter fell into the category of below Shudra.
所以呢 ，Mugrari 这样的猎人就是属于比 Shudra 还要低下的人类。
Because his profession was to kill animals.
因为他的这个职业就是屠杀动物。
And then sell the meat.
然后呢，把这个肉拿去卖。
Which means that during his time, there were people who were buying meat.
那就是意味着在他所在的那个年代，已经有人在买肉吃了。
And in Vedic civilization, you will find all sorts of people, including those who eat meat.
在韦达的这个文化文明之中，我们可以看到各种各样的人，也包括这些食肉者。
So.Mugrari became quite wealthy by doing this kind of work.
那这个 Mugrari 呢，就通过这种卖动物肉呢，也发财致富了。
But we know from scriptures that this kind of activity does not give a very bright future.
但是通过今年我们就知道，这样的一些活动是不可能给这个人一个光明的未来的。
And this is the problem with human beings that are fallen, is that they don't understand how the law of karma works.
所以呢，人类的这个低下之处就表现在这里，就是因为人类他们并不知道业报的这个定律是怎么样运作的。
So.If you were to explain, even to people today, the principles of reincarnation, not only they don't understand it, but they don't accept it.
那就是如果你现在跟别人去讲这个轮回的这个知识的话，他们是不仅是不能理解，他们也是接受不了。
So out of foolishness, people engage in very heavy karmic activities.Without understanding that they are building themselves a very, very dark future.
所以说呢，人们出于无知呢，其实他们就从事各种各样的罪恶活动。殊不知，这些罪恶的活动其实铺就了一条通向黑暗深渊的道路。
So in a Vedic society, you will also have people who eat meat, but this is really, really the minority.
那所以说，在这个伟大的社会当中，依然还是有一些人是吃肉的，但是他们这些人是属于极少数人。
And we are looking at here, not people living in the cities or even the towns. We're talking about tribes.
那我们在这里所说的这一类人，还不是说是生活在城镇当中的人，是属于那种部落里面的人。
So really small pockets of people.
所以呢，可以说只是说零零散散的一些人而已。
And there are places in this world where there are no other options but to eat flesh.
然后在这个世界上呢，也有一些地方他们是别无选择的，只能是吃肉。
But Everyone else follows Vedic principles.
但是除了这一类少数人之外呢，当时所有的人他们都是遵循这个伟达的原则生活的。
So this means that in the society that we live today, they are practically speaking 7 billion Mugraris.
所以说呢，我们可以说在我们今天所生活的这个世界上，这个地球上。可以说生活了大概得有将近70亿的 Mugrari 这样的猎人
，who are completely ignorant of the future consequences of our action, of their action.
就是对于他们的行为所导致的后果是一无所知的，是完全是愚昧的黑暗。
The Acharyas have explained the different sequence of action that take place for someone who is engaged in eating meat.
那这些 Acharya 们他们曾经解释过这些吃肉者他们最后的归宿会是什么，有各种各样的归宿。
So it begins with those who raise the animals.
首先讲到的是那些去圈养动物的这些人。
That's one category.
这是一类人。
Then those who slaughter the animals.
然后呢，去屠杀动物的人。
Then those who carry the dead animals to the shops.
然后呢，就是把这个死去的这个动物运输到这些集市商店里的这些人。
Then those who buy the meat.
还有买肉的人。
And then those who eat the meat.
最后是吃肉的人。
So the Acharya explains that all of these people are involved in karmic activities with consequences.
那 Acharya 们历代的先师们就向我们解释说呢，这些人他们都卷入到了这个因果的业报的这个定律当中，那最后他们的这个结局是非常的糟糕的。
And for most people, that's just life. This is natural.
对很多人来说，这个就是一种司空见惯的生活，他们并不觉得有什么。
Except that there is an addiction in the act of eating meat with the belief that this is the healthiest thing you can do.
那还有一些人，他们就是食肉上瘾的，所以他们认为吃肉呢。就是一个最健康营养的饮食方式了。
So this requires the intervention of pure devotees.
这个时候呢，就需要有纯粹的奉献者来介入。
And this is something that Srila Prabhupada was very, very successful at doing, is to get people to stop eating meat.
那希拉帕帕在这上面呢，就获得了巨大的这个成功，他阻止了无数的人继续吃肉。
Now in the story of Narada Muni, we see that Narada Muni is such a powerful, pure devotee of Krishna that he knows exactly how to present Krishna consciousness according to individuals.
那现在我们再来看一下 Narada Muni. Narada Muni 呢是主 Krishna 的一位非常纯粹伟大的奉献者，他完全知道根据他所面对的人的这个不同，给他们相应的这个 Krishna 知觉的呈现。
He guided Dhruva Maharaj in the forest.
那比如说在这个森林里面，他是指导了 Dhruva Maharaj。
He taught Krishna consciousness to Prahlad when he was still in the womb of his mother。
当这个 Prahlad Maharaj 还在母亲的腹中的时候 ，Narada Muni 呢，他也启发了他。
He instructed King Prachinabarishat on the illusion of the material body。
还有，他也这个就是开示了 Prachina。然后呢，就是告诉他这个躯体的短暂之处。
He managed to convince the sons of King Daksha to become brahmacharis.
而且呢，他也说服了 Daksha 的这些儿子们，让他们一直做这个 brahmachari.
He is involved in so many ways to instruct people on the science of devotional service based on their own personal situation.
他是根据每个人的这种不同的这个状况，所以呢，他会相应的给予他们指导，把 Krishna 知觉带给他们。
So much so that he is also very much instrumental in Krishna's personal transcendental pastimes.
而且呢，他还加入了 Krishna 的本人的这个超然的逍遥时光之中。
Then we also read previously.Narada Muni's own personal example, how he became a pure devotee just by association from other pure devotees.
然后我们还看到了就是拉尔丹穆尼他个人的这个例子，就是说他是怎么样通过和其他的纯粹的奉献者相处联谊而成为一个纯粹的奉献者的。
He is such an exalted Vaishnava.
他是一位非常崇高的 Vaishnava 奉献者。
And for him to pay attention to someone like Mugrai the hunter, it means there is a lesson to learn.
那么作为他这样的一个崇高伟大的奉献者，现在他就把他的视线落在了 Mugrai 这样的猎人身上。那我们就知道，通过这个故事，我们一定可以吸取到一些教训。
Actually, there is more than one lesson. There's quite a few lessons.
事实上呢，在这里不只是一个教训，有好几个不同的教导。
Narada Muni travels all throughout the spiritual world and the material world at will. He can go wherever he wants for the specific purpose to give Krishna consciousness to people.
Narada Muni 呢，他可以凭着自己的意愿随心所欲的在灵性世界还有物质与世界四处云游。他会根据这个他所遇到的不同的情况不同的人他把这个 Krishna 知觉带给他们
which means that he can appear anywhere at any time
那换句话说呢他可能会在任何时候在任何一个地方就突然的出现
once in the very early days of Krishna consciousness movement in America the devoteeshad rented a big hall for Prabhupada to give a lecture.
那么就是在这个 Krishna 知觉在西方传播的早期非常早最早的时候呢这个奉献者们他们租用了一个非常大的一个大厅是为了要和 Srila Prabhupada 一起做一个对外的活动。
And they have made a big promotion to attract a lot of people to come and listen to Prabhupada.
然后呢他们也做了非常大规模的这个宣传，希望能够吸引很多人来参加 Srila Prabhupada 的这个活动。
And unfortunately, no one came.
但是呢，很不幸的是，最后几乎没有什么人来。
So the devotees were very, very ashamed.
那奉献者们呢，感到非常的不好意思。
So there were only five or six of them, and Prabhupada still gave the lecture.
那当时呢，来的人也就只不过是五六个而已。那 Srila Prabhupada 呢？却不在乎，他继续的照常的讲了课。
And at the end of the lecture, the devotees, you know, apologized. You know, they said, "Sorry, Prabhupada, we couldn't bring any people here."
那在释迦牟尼讲完之后呢，奉献者们就向释迦牟尼菩萨道歉，说很抱歉，我们没有办法把人吸引到这儿来。
The Prabhupada was not disturbed at all.
释迦牟尼菩萨呢，他毫不在乎。
Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, even if there is nobody, you can still preach to the world.
那因为是了 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 曾经说过这样的一个话，即便是空无一人，你也可以向四面白墙去传教。
But in that situation, Prabhupada says, what do you mean nobody came? Narada Muni was there.
那在那个场景下面呢，是了爸爸说。你们说谁都没有来是什么意思？ Narada Muni 不是就来了吗？
So Narada Muni can appear anytime, and especially Prabhupada explained Narada Muni loves to appear when there is very intense kirtans.
那么 Narada Muni 呢，他会随时的出现在非常热烈的 kirtan 的场面。
So in that case, Narada Muni comes in the middle of the forest just to see a hunter.Torturing animals.
那在这段逍遥时光里面呢，就是有这么一个猎人在森林里面去折磨那些可怜的动物。就在这个时候呢 ，Narada Muni 突然在他面前现身。
So this story is mentioned in the scriptures because it's a very good case. It's an example of how the most fallen can become the most elevated.
那在这个经典里面呢，就引用了这样的一个故事，是为了说明一个最堕落的人是怎么样成为一个最崇高的人的。
So Narada Muni approaches the hunter and wants to know what he is doing.
那这个 Narada Muni 呢，他就来到了这个猎人的跟前，想要看一下究竟，看他究竟在干些什么。
Why only half kill animals? Why not kill them completely?
为什么你不把动物一下子就杀死，而是把他们折磨得半死不活的呢？
And he's trying to make sense into the mind of the hunter. He says, you have no idea that this kind of activity will bring major consequences.
他实际上呢，就是想要去改变这个，就是唤醒这个猎人的这个意识，让他意识到他所做的这些事情，这些行为会导致非常可怕的后果。
That as you make the animal suffer, in the future, you will suffer exactly like they do.
那现在呢，你让这些动物啊备受折磨，如此痛苦，那未来呢，你也会承受同样的痛苦。
Now this kind of logic can only be understood when you have transcendental knowledge.
当你有了这个超然的这个知识的时候，你才对这个事实有所理解。
Again, people have absolutely no idea, and they think there's no problem with killing animals.
就是普通人呢，他们没有办法理解这个逻辑，因为他们并不觉得杀死动物有什么问题。
Now, there is a difference, and Prabhupada mentions, between those people who kill animals, let's say, you know, they live on the farm and they've got a few farm animals that they need for sustenance.
那在这些杀死动物的、屠杀动物的这些人当中，就像Srila Prabhupada说的一样，也分成不同的类群。有一部分人他们是生活在农场里面，所以他们会就是养一些动物来以此这个为生。
As opposed to complete industrialization and the opening of thousands and thousands of slaughterhouses and slaughter, literally speaking, millions of animals.
那但是呢，与此形成巨大的反差的就是我们现代的这种肉食加工业，这样子的这种巨大的这个产业分布在世界各个地方，几百个、上千个、上万个，然后每天都有几百万的这个动物被这种流水线上的这种大规模的工业化方式所屠杀。
As a matter of fact, the figure shows that every single year, 60 billion animals are killed for slaughter.So that people can eat meat. 60 billion.
那就是说，在这个有这个数据表示，就是在每一年全世界被杀死并且被人们食用的这个动物多达600亿。
This is not a small number. This is massive number.
这个数据是非常的惊人的。
So when you look at 60 billion animals, you're looking at 60 billion human beings who are going to take birth as animals.And in turn, will be slaughtered.
所以我们看到这个数据，六百亿的动物，那就意味着有六百亿的人，他们会投身为动物，然后他们被杀死。
So Prabhupada explained the urgency for devotees to present Krishna consciousness so that people at least.Stop eating meat.
所以呢，释迦牟尼认为，奉献者们去传播 Krishna 知觉是迫在眉睫的，因为至少 Krishna 知觉能够让他们停止肉食。
Narada Muni says, all the animals that you have killed and given unnecessary pain will kill you one after another in your next life and the life after life.
那 Narada Muni 呢，他就继续的，他就说到了，他说你被你杀死的并且无缘无故的承受这些没有必要的痛苦的这些人，他们将会在你的下一世以及再下下世，杀死你。
So this situation alone should be a great motivator for devotees to give up Bhagavad Gita, so people can understand the principle of reincarnation.
所以呢，仅仅是这样的一句话，我想就应当给奉献者。足够的这个动力去拍发Srila Prabhupada的书籍，使得人们至少能够放下屠刀。
And Prabhupada points directly to the Judeo-Christian scriptures.
那 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他在这里又直接的引述了犹太基督教的。
Because the first instruction in the Bible is, "Thou shalt not kill."
因为在经典里面第一句话就是说勿妄杀。
So he says this is a direct instruction.
那这个意思就是说你不应当屠杀。那么这个就是一个非常直接的一个教导。
And that very first instruction is not followed.
但是呢，即便是圣经里面的这么第一条教义呢，人们都没有遵循。
This is very hypocritical.
所以施拉帕帕说呢，这个是伪君子的做法。
To claim to follow a specific religious path, but to go completely the opposite way is hypocritical.
就是去自称去遵循一条宗教的这个道路，但是。在行为上是又是完全背道而驰的，这个是十足的虚伪的做法。
Because there's nothing more incompatible to claim to be a follower of God or a lover of God, and at the same time destroy His creation.
那么就是一方面呢，自称是神的追随者，是爱神的，但是另外一方面呢，又无度的。夺去这个神的被神创造出来的这些生物的生命，这两者是完全不相融合的。
And Prabhupada says this is the reason why on a regular basis, like probably every 40 or every 60 years, there are wars.
所以呢，释迦牟尼佛说呢，正是这个原因，所以每隔40年到60年就会有战争爆发。
Wars means humans kill humans.
战争就是意味着人类同胞间互相残杀。
And how does this mentality come about?
那这种心态是怎么冒出来的呢？
That if you have no feeling in killing animals, you'll have no feelings in killing humans.
就是说，你对于屠杀动物是麻木。不仁不动丝毫恻隐之心的话，那你要杀死其他的人，就是你杀人，你也不会有什么感觉。
So nature brings people together in one place and mass slaughter.
所以呢，大自然就做出安排了，把人都让他归到一个地方，然后以这种大型的这种屠杀、大绝杀的这种方式来。
It's got nothing to do with politics.
这个和政治没有任何的关系。
And when you hear about countries spending billions and billions of dollars in military equipment, it means that their intelligence is completely gone and they are prepared again to kill human beings.
那当我们听到就是国与国之间进入这个军备竞赛，然后把这种几十亿上百亿的这种资金都投到这个军备的建设上面，那我们就知道这些人已经完全的失去了这个理智，完全是一大群疯子。
Now let's not forget that when you have a war between two countries 80% of those who will dieare not soldiers, they are civilians.
而且我们要知道在这样的战争当中最后被屠杀的有80%都是无辜的平民，而不是在战场上的战士。
So this is how far ignorance can lead people to do horrible work.
所以我们都从中可以看到愚昧无知可以让一个人做出非常过度的这种令人发指的行为。
So Prabhupada explains the International Society for Krishna Consciousness recommends that everyone abandon meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling.
所以呢，释迦牟尼佛他就是说呢，国际 Krishna 知识协会呢，推荐每一个人都要完全的放弃食肉非法性行为。服用麻醉品和赌博。
Because Srila Prabhupada was very much aware that as long as you follow these four sinful activities, you have not only you have to take birth again, but you have to take birth again and suffer.
所以呢，Srila Prabhupada在这里提倡人们去放弃这四个罪恶活动。他的意思就是说，我们每一个人如果去继续去做这些罪恶活动的话，就是不仅仅是还要再度的轮回出生，而且呢，还要在不断的 受到这个痛苦和折磨。
So what is the solution?
那么这个根本的解决方法是什么呢？
Prabhupada explained the solution is very simple.
那释迦帕帕他说呢，这个解决的这个方案是非常的简单的。
Association with pure devotees.
就是和纯粹的奉献者在一起。
And we're not talking about one pure devotee, we're talking about many pure devotees.
那我们在说的并不是一个纯粹的奉献者，我们说的是很多很多纯粹的奉献者。
So Prabhupada, when he presented the process of Krishna consciousness, he was not expecting to create a society of neophyte devotees.
所以当释迦帕帕他要去建立起克里希那知觉运动的时候，他想要建立这样的一个社团，但是他并不是想，就是给建立一个只是由出席的奉献者所组成的社团。
Prabhupada had every expectation that his movement would be made of pure devotees.
那释迦帕帕帕呢？是雄心勃勃的，他希望他的这个运动最后是由纯粹的奉献者所组成的。
So here, by the association of Narada Muni, the hunter became convinced.
那就是因为和这个纯粹的奉献者 Narada Muni 接触呢，所以这个奉献这个Mugrari 这个猎人就得到了进化，也变成了一个奉献者。
And he understood that what Narada Muni is saying to him is very important for him to follow.
所以呢，就是 Narada Muni 在这里所跟他与他说的这些话呢，他是应当非常认真的去遵循的，这一点极其的重要。
So he said that he admitted that what he was doing was sinful.
所以他也意识到了，所以呢，他就承认说呢，他所做的这些活动的确是罪大恶极。
But he explained, I have been taught this business from my very childhood.
但是呢，他又说，我从童年的时候开始呢，我就是被这么教导的。
Now I am wondering how I can become freed from these unlimited volumes of sinful activity.
那然后他接着他说呢，我的这些罪恶的这种活动啊，不计其数。那我怎么样才能摆脱的过来呢？
So Prabhupada explained the fact that one will admit to being sinful is already a huge step in the path of Krishna consciousness.
那释迦帕帕呢就在这里说，一个人他去承认自己的罪恶，这已经是在Krishna 知觉的这条道路上的很重要的一步了。
In other words, to admit to say, okay, I've done something wrong.
换句话说，就是一个人他自己坦白的这个承认说，是的，我的确是犯了错误。
It requires sincerity, it requires humility.
这种承认错误呢，它需要一个人非常的真诚，非常的诚实，还有谦卑。
Now we have to be careful not to misunderstand what it means to admit.
但是呢，我们在这里说承认，这个地方我们不要误解了。
Some people admit and the torture.
有些人呢，就好像是屈打成招一样，他是在这种痛苦折磨下不得不去承认自己的问题。
Either physical or psychological torture.
或者是在身体上面，或者是在这种心理上面备受折磨的情况下。
Even if they haven't done anything wrong, they are pressured to admit something.
就是屈打成招，就是即便是他们什么都没有错，但是他们呢，就是迫于这种压力呢，然后去承认自己的错误。
The admission of Mugari the hunter is based on being completely melted by the association of a pure devotee.
那这个 Mugari 这个猎人就不一样了。他之所以去真诚的去承认自己的罪恶呢，是完全是因为在和这一位纯粹的奉献者 Narada Muni 的相处下，他的心完全的融化了。
So Prabhupada explains from the moment that you admit that you're doing something wrong and that you will not do it again, then you are free from sinful activities.
释迦帕帕他说呢，从你承认自己的错误，并且下决心不再犯的那一刻开始，其实上呢，你已经开始就是 ，that means you already purified。
Yeah。
就是你已经得到了进化了，就是你的进化的程序已经开始了。
However, does that mean that the desire to sin is removed?
但是这是否就是意味着你这种犯罪的这种欲望已经完全清除了呢？
Maybe not. The material desire is still sitting in the heart.
可能还没有，因为你的这个物质的欲望可能还没有完全的除尽，还在这个心里。
The hunter says, "My dear sir, please tell me how I can be relieved from the reactions of my sinful life. Now I fully surrender unto you and fall down at your lotus feet. Please deliver me from sinful reactions."
那这个猎人他又继续说呢，亲爱的先生，请告诉我，我怎么样才能摆脱我的罪恶的生活所带来的后果？现在我完全的归于您，在。归依在您的莲花足下，那么请将我从这些罪恶的反应中拯救出来吧。
So when we come to Krishna consciousness by association with the devotees, it's very easy to give up sinful activities.
那我们就知道呢，通过和奉献者的这个联谊和相处，要从这个罪恶的活动当中摆脱出来，就变得非常的容易了。
But it doesn't mean the material desires are gone.
但是呢，这并不意味着我们的这些物质欲望都已经烟消云散了。
So we have to be careful where we put our focus.
所以呢，我们要知道，在这个时候，我们应当把我们的关注点放在哪里。
We don't focus on removing material desires.
我们的关注点不应当是怎么样把这个物质欲望给一个一个去除。
We focus on serving Krishna.
我们应该专注于为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
And by doing that, material desires disappear.
那通过对 Krishna 的这个奉献服务，我们的物质欲望也就一个一个的消解了。
Because as long as we have a material body, as long as we live in this material world, there's every chance that material desires will creep in.
就是说呢，我们只要有这个物质躯体，只要我们还生活在这个物质能量所组成的这个物质世界上，这个物质欲望总是会悄悄地潜伏在我们的心中的。
And that's the reason why Krishna established the Varnashram system.
这就是 Krishna 他要解释 Varnashram 四色位阶层森林。
So that people in their own categories of social and spiritual status can gradually make progress.
就是无论一个人他处在这个社会各阶层的这个阶梯上的哪一个位置，还是在灵性阶段的每一个阶段，他们都可以从自己的起点出发，进一步的就是往上走。
Now, Prabhupada makes a very important point when he talks about Mugrari surrendering to Narada Muni.
那么在这里呢，就是说到这个 Mugrari 他向这个 Narada Muni 皈依了。那么在这里呢，是拉帕布帕呢，他就指出了一个要点。
So this is the same situation as someone who comes to Krishna consciousness and approaches the Guru and says, "Now I surrender unto you."
那这个就好比是一个人，他来到了一个奉献者，休息了一段时间，他来到一个灵性导师的面前，说那个灵性导师，现在我想向您完全的皈依。
And Prabhupada says, a spiritual master will never tell a disciple, surrender unto me.
这个释迦帕帕他说呢，一个灵性导师他不会跟门徒说皈依我。
Spiritual master will say, surrender unto Krishna.
那这个灵性导师他会说呢，皈依于 Krishna 吧。
So the spiritual master is only the representative of Krishna who helps the conditioned soul surrender to Krishna.
所以呢，这个灵性导师他是代表着 Krishna 来帮助这个受条件限制的灵魂向 Krishna 皈依的。
So now the situation is Mugrari has surrendered to Narada Muni.
那现在的这个情景就是这样的，就是 Mugrari 这个猎人呢，他皈依了Narada Muni，向他臣服了。
It means that now he is in a neutral position where he's not going to hunt, he's not going to do any hunting anymore.
那他现在就是到了这么的一个过渡阶段，一方面呢，他就是不再继续打猎了。
But he doesn't know what he's got to do.
但是呢。他又不知道接下来该做些什么。
Before he depended on killing animals for survival, now he's depending on his guru.
那之前呢，他是靠这个猎杀这个动物为生的。
So、
那他现在就是完全的依靠他的灵性导师了。
When you come forward to take shelter, this is actually the right terminology. You don't surrender to a guru, you take shelter of a guru.And you surrender to Krishna.
所以说呢，就是当你去托庇一个灵性导师的时候，这个托庇这两个字是非常贴切的。换句话说，你并不是说是归于你的灵性导师，而是说你托庇于灵性导师，归于 Krishna.
So when you take shelter, what does that mean? Taking shelter means you get protection.
什么叫做托庇呢？托庇就是因为你就获得了庇护了。就是得到了保护了。
So now you depend on the spiritual master to protect you and shelter you.
现在呢，你就完全的依赖于你的灵性导师了，依靠他来给予自己保护，给予自己庇护。
So now the spotlight is on the spiritual master to become responsible for the life of the disciple.
所以呢，现在呢。这个聚光灯或者说这个焦点就转到了这个灵性导师那里了，就是说灵性导师在这个时候是身负重任的，他要去照顾这个门徒，在这个门徒的这一生当中都能够给他庇护，给他指导。
So when you take shelter of someone like Narada Muni, you don't have to worry about anything.
所以当你去托庇一下 Narada Muni 这样崇高的奉献者的时候，那你当然是没有什么可担忧的了。
So Narada Muni says, if you listen to my instruction, I shall find the way.You can be liberated.
那达尔达穆尼呢就对这个猎人说了，如果你听从我的训示的话，我一定能够找到办法让你摆脱罪恶的活动。
Prabhupada quotes the verse, Yasya Devi Parabhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru Kashyate Katitayata Prakashyante Mahatmana. And to those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master,All the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed.
是了，爸爸呢，在这里就引用了一个诗节，说对于那些对主和灵性导师具备着坚定不移的信心的人，伟达知识的一切要义都向他自动的揭示。
So it requires trust.
所以呢，在这个时候呢。有一个基础就是信任。
I'm putting my life in the hands of the spiritual master, and I'm trusting that such a spiritual master will free me from material life. That's the first part, and second, will give me Krishna consciousness.
那就是说呢，这个时候你对你所皈依的这个灵性导师是充满着信心的，就是灵性导师，我现在。把我的这个生命都完全的交到了你的手中，我充分的相信，就是我100%的相信您能够首先把我从这个物质世界中解救出来，第二点，你会把我带入 Krishna 知觉。
So this is how we understand what actually takes place on the day of initiation.
所以我们就知道了，在这个启迪的这一天，就是这就是这个在启迪的这一天的意义。
It's not just about the disciple taking vows.
就是所以说呢，这个意义不在于这个门徒发誓了就完了。
Prabhupada explains to take vows to follow the four regulative principles is not something spiritual. It's just to keep you on the platform of being a proper human being.
是的，帕帕他说呢，就是说，其实你去发誓遵守四个规范原则，
并不是说这个这些规范遵守这规范的原则就是灵性的了，而是只是说这遵循的这四个规范原则使你啊足以称为一个人，也就是说你只是基本的做到了一个人应该做的事情。
And from that platform, one can engage in pure devotional service.
当你达到了人的这个层面的时候，你才能够说你可以开始做纯粹的奉爱服务了。
And therefore the 16 rounds.
然后呢，接下来就有这个十六圈。
Now, what's happening on the part of the guru?
那就这个 guru 这一面的话，他应该会发生一些什么呢？
The guru takes the huge responsibility.To take on the sinful reactions of the disciple and to bring the disciple to Krishna consciousness.
那也就是说呢，这个灵性导师呢，他就这个时候就肩负的非常大的这个责任了。他要带走这个门徒的罪恶活动，然后把他带回到 Krishna 的莲花座下。
So you've come to me for shelter. Now I have.The responsibility to protect you.
就是说，你现在来到我的跟前，托庇于我了，所以呢，我现在就有这个责任要保护你。
And that protection means I will engage you in service so that you are protected from material desires, but also through this process you will go to Krishna.
所以呢，这个是一种什么样的庇护呢？就是说呢，我要帮助你，让你去从事奉献服务。在这个从事奉献服务的过程当中呢，你就会去除很多的物质欲望，然后呢，这样子呢，你才会就是回到 Krishna 的身边。
So this is a transcendental contract.
所以呢，这个可以说是一个超然的协议。
The hunter said, "My dear sir, whatever you say."I shall do.
那这个猎人呢，他就是说呢，我一定依言行事。
And Narada Muni immediately replied, first of all, break your bow.
那 Narada Muni 呢，一听这个猎人这么一说，他立刻就命给他这个训令了，说首先折断你的弓。
Why is this the first instruction?
为什么给他这个是一个第一个训示呢？
Because if Mograri doesn't break his bow, it means he may be tempted to use it again.
就是说呢，他如果这个弓不断的话，那这个猎人他有可能还是被这个诱惑会继续的打猎。
So first you break your bow, then I'll tell you what to do.
就他可能抵御不了这个诱惑了，所以呢，达摩尼说呢，你先把你这个弓给折断了，然后我们再说些别的。
So Prabhupada says this is the process of initiation. The disciple must vow that he will no longer commit sinful activities, namely illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. He promises to execute the order of the spiritual master. Then the spiritual master takes care of him and elevates him to spiritual emancipation.
那在要旨当中呢，释迦帕帕他就说，这就是一个启迪的程序。一个门徒发誓他不再从事罪恶的活动，也就是非法性行为、食肉、赌博，还有服用麻醉品。他发誓他将完全的这个依照灵性导师的训令生活。那么灵性导师就会照顾他，并且帮助他。得到提升，获得灵性的解放。
So, actually, it's not that easy.
但实际上事情的发展并没有那么简单。
You know, like everybody comes at the time of initiation and take vows. Why is it easy to take the vows? Because you've got a crowd of devotees around you, and it's not like you're going to say, "Well, I'll think about the meat part and."Maybe I'll give up illicit sex, and I'm not sure about the gambling, so I have to think about it. You're not going to speak like this. You have to take your vows because everybody is there watching.
因为在那个启迪的场面，周围有这么多的人，都在注视着你，在众目睽睽之下。这个时候对你来说，你肯定不会还在那儿挠着头在想着，关于这个吃肉的这个问题嘛，我再想一想。那这个非法的性行为，我再好好的想想。 你不能这么说的。所以说呢，在那个时候，大家在那个场景下面的话，你肯定好像你就是发那个誓就更加的容易了。
So we take the vows at the time of initiation. However, we actually not sure whether we can follow them.
其实就是在这个启迪的那个庄严的场面之下，你会去发誓遵循这四个规范原则，但实际上你并不知道你未来是否真的能够一直的。就是保持你的这个誓言。
And that's when things get complicated, both for the guru and the disciple.
You mean when you break something? 当你食言的时候，就是你没有办法遵照你的誓言行事的时候，那这个时候呢，你跟你的灵性导师之间的这种关系就变得复杂了。
So when Prabhupada introduced following these four vows, he made sure.That the devotees were fully engaged in devotional service and always be in good association so that the desire to sin again would not even enter their minds.
所以呢，其实当时那帕帕他让他的这个门徒在启迪的时候向他发出这个誓言的时候，与之并行的，他还给奉献者们分配了大量的奉献服务，并且能够一直跟奉献者在一起联谊。这样呢，就是这个奉献者他的这种罪恶的这种愿望、物质欲望就不会冒头，他就能够一直的做这个奉献服务，从而不断的得到这个进化。
So the hunter begins by saying if it's His reply is conditional. If I break my bow, how shall I maintain myself?
那这个这猎人呢，他就回答说，但是他这个时候他用的是一个假设。他说，如果我折断了我的弓箭，那么我该怎么样为生呢？
He didn't say I will break my bow and I have no worries about how I will maintain.He puts a condition.
他并没有马上就说了，他说我就是一定折断我的弓箭，接下来会发生什么，我如何以为生，我就不担忧了，我根本不会担忧。他没有这么说，他是用了一个假设，就是说如果我折断了我的弓箭。
So Narada Muni replies, "Do not worry, I shall supply all your food every day."
那阿达摩尼就回答说了，你不用担心，每天的食物我都会给你的。
So, we will see how Narada Muni will proceed in giving food shelter to Mugwari the hunter.
那下一周呢，我们继续来看这个 Narada Muni 是怎么样来就是保护。就是怎么样去这个庇护皈依了他的这个猎人的。就是全面的去保护他，庇护他。好，我们看一下什么可以来到 Mataji 那边有没有什么问题。
If she's there.
好。Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.This one question 来自于悟道顶拜故日莲花族顶拜大家。如果一个联谊场不能和睦相处，可以不参加联谊。怪不得以前听婆婆说那些做屠宰的人命运都不好。Please accept my humble obeisances. If devotees can't get along at the programs when they associate with each other, can I just not participate in this association?
If you take that mentality, then you'll never associate with anyone.
如果呢，你一直这样的一种心态的话，恐怕你跟谁都没有办法真正的联谊。
Prabhupada has given us not just an opportunity but a challenge.
释迦牟尼佛不仅给了我们一个机会，其实也是给了我们一个挑战。
And the challenge is that we should not expect that association will always come from others.
就是说呢，我们的这个挑战在于什么呢？就是说，我们不要以为这个联谊永远是从别人那儿来，你被动接受的。
In other words, as was mentioned in this lecture today, we have to grow up and we have to mature in Krishna consciousness.
那换句话说，就是说，就像我们今天在课上讲的一样，我们要在 Krishna 知觉当中不断的进步，然后我们自己要成长起来，要成熟起来，我们的 Krishna 知觉要变得成熟。
So there have been many instances. Even during Prabhupada's time, and even today in ISKCON in general, where you can't force people to get along.
就是不管是在Srila Prabhupada这个年代，还是当今这个世界上的这个遍布在世界各地的ISKCON，就是这种情况永远是存在的。你不能强迫奉献者和奉献者之间一定可以和睦相处。
But there is a difference between not getting along because of personality.
那么一方面这种不能和睦相处的原因呢，可能是因为大家的个性的不同，这是一种情况。And
not getting along because of false ego.
另外一方面是因为假我而不能和睦相处，这两者之间是不一样的。Like
there are many devotees who have their own little circles of friends because they feel comfortable to associate with them.
就比如说呢，有些奉献者他有他自己的一个亲密的奉献者小圈子，因为在这个圈子里面他是最自在的。Yes.
Yeah. And even though there are alternative, there are other options, but they feel comfortable with a specific group of people.
即便是还有其他的一些联谊的选择，但是他还是非常喜欢和这一小群奉献者在一起，因为跟他们在一起是。
But when you avoid people because of the false ego, then there is something wrong with the level of maturity.
但是呢，如果说你仅仅是因为假我的这个缘故，这种冲突，而就是避开和某一些奉献者的这个联谊的话，那就说明你还不够成熟，还是有问题。
Now, why is it that some devotees don't get along?
为什么有一些奉献者没有办法和平相处呢？
My experience is because they talk too much.
我的一个经验就是说，他们的话说的太多了。
And when they talk, they don't really talk things that are Krishna conscious.
当他们在那瞎聊的时候，闲聊的时候，并不是说总是讲着 Krishna 知觉的话题。
If you were together with people who just chant and hear and serve, you'll be surprised how they will enjoy being together.
那如果说当奉献者在一起的时候，只是说去唱诵、念诵，还有去聆听、做奉献服务，你可能会很吃惊的发现，原来跟奉献者在一起联谊是那么的美好。如果联谊的时候只是做这几件事情的话。
And as you mature in Krishna consciousness, you learn to appreciate others even with their faults.
那还有一个就是说，在你随着你在 Krishna 知觉当中的不断的这个成熟，你就会就是换一种不同的眼睛看奉献者了。即便是奉献者有错误、有缺陷，你依然还是会去欣赏的。
So my advice is make an effort to mature in Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，我的建议呢，就是说你要努力的让自己在 Krishna 知觉中成熟起来。Yes. 他补充一句说，怪不得以前听婆婆说那些屠宰的人的命运都不好。So he followed with a comment that no wonder that I heard my grandma saying that those who are butchers, they don't have very good destiny in the future.
What does it have to do with us?
No, it's just followed with a comment from your class. Panchatattva Prabhu, Hare Krishna, 顶戴帕布和玛塔吉以及奉献者，物质主义的奉献者非常的骄傲，甚至很疯狂，认为自己 很完美，并不珍惜咕噜和资深奉献者的联谊，甚至还要批评咕噜和资深奉献者，认为自己比他们高明。这样的物质主义奉献者从联谊活动中能得到什么？Please accept my humble obeisances. Some of the materialist devotees are very arrogant, very pride, and even have lost their mind, very crazy, thinking that they are very perfect. They never cherish the association from the guru and senior devotees. They even criticize the guru and other senior devotees, thinking that they are wiser than them. So for this kind of materialist devotees, what can they get from association with the devotees?
Everything is based on attitude.
其实这个态度或者说心态是一切的基础。
Attitude is like something that you gain based on your desire to please.
这样的一种心态呢，是来自于你想要取悦别人的这种愿望而得来的结果。
So based on the attitude you get a specific level of association.
所以呢，基于你的这个心态的不同，你也相应的获得某一类的某一个层面上的就是联谊。
So now let's say that you have a bad attitude.
我们来举例来说，你的这个心态非常的糟糕。
How much of that bad attitude can be expressed in the midst of mature devotees?
那当你和置身在这些成熟的奉献者之中，你的这种非常糟糕的这种心态有什么机会去展示呢？
Let's say you are somehow or other a critical person and very negative person.
就举例来说呢，你是一个非常负面的这么一个人，而且总是喜欢去批评指责别人。
And then you find yourself in a room with five or six very advanced devotees.
然后呢，你就和这个五六个非常非常精进的资深的这个奉献者在一起，待在一个屋子里。你想象一下这个情景。
Will you feel very comfortable and confident to express your criticism and negativity?
那么在这样资深的奉献者之中，你难道还会毫无顾忌的去表达你的这种负面情绪，而且就是对别的奉献者大加指责吗？
No, you will swallow your pride.
你不会，你只能把你的骄傲吞下去。
So this is similar to the previous question. We need to have a Chinese yatra which is made of very mature devotees.
所以呢，这个又跟下面的那个问题相关。那我们的结论就是说，我们需要一个由成熟的奉献者所组成的中国雅扎。
Not that we remain neophyte and unconfident.
Unconfident
means without confidence.
就是我们不能还是停留在一个非常初级的这样的一个层面上面，而且信心不足。
Because if you have a yatra with very mature devotees, then believe me, those who are critical and negative, they'll become like a tiny little speck of dust.
我们要相信，如果说我们整个的中国yatra，就是中国的奉献者的团体，都能够非常成熟的话，那些负面心理的，喜欢对别人吹毛求疵、大家指责的那些人，他们就会越来越边缘化，变成就像是尘土一样不值一提。
So if you allow people like this to flourish, it means that there is no maturity.
那如果说这种经常去批评指责别人的骄傲的这种奉献者，他们的这个气焰就是一直如此的嚣张，并且我们还不够成熟助长了这种现象的发生，那就说明我们的整个的中国的整个的团体是不成熟的。
Well, purity is the force.
因为纯粹就是力量。
If one becomes mature and senior, then those who are critical and negative will have nothing to say.
一个人他如果非常的成熟非常的精进的话，那么那些负面情绪的那些人，喜欢对人吹毛求疵的人，他们也就哑口无言了。
And if devotees are always busy in devotional service, then all they have to tell to these people is, sorry, I've got to do service, I've got no time to listen to you.
还有呢, 就是说, 如果大家所有的奉献者, 都非常的忙碌地做着奉献服务, 当有人, 啊, 在那里, 说着各种各样的怪话的时候, 你就会跟他说, 很抱歉, 我没有时间听你说话, 我还有很, 我很忙, 我还有很多服务要做呢。
I'm busy distributing books, I'm busy distributing prasadam.
我在忙着派发书籍, 派发prasadam呢。
I don't have time to spend my life on WeChat all the time sending criticism and pointing fingers.
我没有功夫成天的待在这个微信上面, 跟别人大家指责, 指三道四, 然后还批评这个批评那个, 我根本就没有那个时间。
Don't give these people a single chance.
就不要给这种人一个机会, 一个机会都没有,
to express themselves.
让他们去表达他们的想法, 不给他们任何的空间。 OK,淡然一笑, 伟达经奥义书宇宙古史马哈巴拉塔Rama的历险漫游, 就是, 王摩言那哈, 等书的内容的精华在哪里呢? What's the essence of the books like the Vedas? The Upanishad, and the Puranas and Mahabharatas and Ramayana respectively.
The essence is give up all processes of religion and surrender unto me, I will protect you.
这个精华就是Krishna在《薄伽梵歌》里所讲的，放弃一切宗教，只归依我，我会把你从所有的恶报中解救出来，不用害怕。这个就是内容精华。
Surrender your heart to Krishna. That's the essence of all scriptures.
把你的心归依在Krishna的莲花足下，无论是什么经典。 其精华所在就在这里。
Don't surrender your mind and your senses and your bad habits to the material energy. Give everything to Krishna.
不要把你的心意、你的感官、躯体和坏的这种习惯都归于在物质能量之中，不要臣服于物质能量，应当归于于Krishna。 OK， 淡然一笑，什么是 Maharishi Mahesh Yoga？ Yogi.
Who's talking about?
This is a new devotee, I believe, that he asked, what is Maharishi Mahesh Yogi?
The man is dead a long time ago.
这个人已经去世很多很多年了。
He attracted people for some time and now it's finished.
他就是吸引了一些人。
但是呢，现在这股风潮已经过去了。Impersonal
philosophy。他所讲的都是一些非人格主义的那些哲学。Your
real question should be, who is Srila
Prabhupada?你真正应该问的问题是，Srila Prabhupada是谁？Then
we can engage in conversation。那我们就可以好好的谈一谈了。Everyone else is not that
important。其他的那些人都不怎么重要。嗯。 You want to say just what his teaching is?
No.
他的教导就是非人格主义的一些教导。 我对他的这些所讲的这些东西也没有任何兴趣。 Midangya不必须要布包起来吗? Do we have to wrap Midanga? Midanga, we have to wrap with the cloth or not? Do we have to wrap the Midanga?
Is this the same person?
Yeah. Do we have to wrap the Midanga with cloth? Or not? It depends.
No, you don't.
你不需要用布包起来.
There's no rules for this.
这个没有说什么是个规矩，必须要包起来.
You don't play better minanga because there's a cloth wrapped around it.
并不是说你敲鼓的时候上面裹着一块布，你就能够敲得更好。这个布 it's for protection.
No.
When you don't play it,
No, devotees follow fashion totally blindly. They have no idea.
就是用什么，就是有的时候奉献者会非常盲目的追随某一种这种像奉献者的时尚潮流。我看到别人用布把这个米当嘎好像包起来，就觉得挺酷的，所以也跟着。这个是一种盲目的追随，实际上没有这么一个规矩。
Mridanga is not a ritual, it's a service.
Mridanga, 我们要知道密当加鼓它不是拿来给你做仪式的，它是用来做服务的。
And the service of the Mridanga is to glorify Krishna's holy name.
那么怎么样去对这个密当加鼓做服务呢？是让它用来去荣耀Krishna。
Not to play fancy beats.
而不是拿它就是去敲一些非常炫目的鼓点。
But to let the Mridanga keep a rhythm for the glorification of Krishna's holy name.
这样这个密当加鼓敲出非常恰当的这个鼓点，然后去很好的去荣耀 Krishna， 这是唯一的一个目的，就是不是拿来炫耀的。OK， 下一个问题来自于智敏顶拜咕噜，感谢翻译顶拜。在场的奉献者咕噜庇护门徒知道他的灵魂生活的同时就庇护了他的物质生活吗？那是不是得纯粹就是这个门徒的物质生活也灵性化了，在这个前提下呢？ So my question is, when the guru gives shelter to the disciple along with guiding his spiritual life, does that mean the guru also gives shelter to his material life? So if that's the case, does that require certain purity? That means that this disciple's material life is also spiritual life, so that both the spiritual and the material side can be protected by the guru. Is that a premise?
No, it's not.
这并不是，这并不是这样的一个前提，像你说的那样。
The relationship between guru and disciple is based on spiritual activities.
这个 guru 灵性导师和门徒之间的这种关系是基于灵性的活动。
Which means following sadhana.
也就是说呢，就是你一定要门徒一定要遵循这个 sadhana 规范修习。
So the guru gives you shelter by teaching you how to perform sadhana bhakti regulated devotional service.
所以呢，guru 呢给这个门徒庇护，就是去手把手的教导他怎么样去非常有规律的去从事他的 sadhana bhakti， 也就是说有规律的去从事这个奉爱服务的修习。
This is the basic principle. This is the foundation of the relationship.
这个是 guru 和门徒之间这种关系的基石。
So by following four regulatory principles and chanting 16 rounds every day, the guru can engage you in regulated devotional service.
所以呢，通过这个门徒去遵循四个规范原则，以及去念诵十六圈，所以呢，他就可以在这个灵性导师的指导下面，然后去从事非常的有规律的奉爱服务。
Now based on that, now it's up to you to decide how you will conduct your material activities so that you are materially stable. And you have plenty of time for your sadhana.
那么在这个大前提之下，那么至于你的这个物质方面、世俗方面的这种生活，应当怎么样去做？你怎么样跟物质和灵性这方面怎么样去平衡，使得你一方面能够很好的就是维持自己的物质生活，一方面又能够有足够的时间去稳定的从事萨拉纳规范修习。那么这个方面这件事情其实是门徒应当去完成的。
So you may go to the guru and present some ideas about doing something material. Now the guru is not going to give you an advice based on that material activity. He will give you an advice based on how this will facilitate or not your practice of your sadhana.
所以呢，有可能作为一个门徒，你会到你的灵性导师面前去谈到自己物质方面的这个生活就是这项活动我能不能去做，或者我这方面的物质生活的改变我是不是应当去做。那么这个灵性导师他不会基于你所提供的有关于你物质方面的这些信息来帮助你马上的做出这个决断的。这个灵性导师一定是从灵性的这个角度去反观你所说的这种物质生活方面的建议，然后帮助你去看你的这样，如果 你做出这种物质生活上的这种安排，它能不能给你的 sadhana， 你的规范修习，你的灵性生活有一个非常好的促进啊？这个是灵性导师所给予你的这个指导。
There are many devotees, especially in India, who are very big business people. When they go to their guru for advice, they don't go to their guru for advice how to run their business. They go to their gurus for advice how to chant better rounds, how to find time to read Prabhupada's books, how to find time to do service.
在这个印度呢，有一些这个奉献者，他们都是做的都是一些非常大的这个商业活动，大的生意非常的忙碌，他们也非常的富有。他们来到这个灵性导师的面前，不是来询问自己这个物质方面的这个生活应该怎么安排的。当他们来到灵性导师的面前，问的都是我怎么样才能够更好的念诵，我怎么样才能够找到更多的更好的这个时间去做一些这个奉献服务。我怎么样才能够更好的服务奉献者，都是诸如此类的灵性问题。
Because if something goes wrong on the material side, the first thought that will come to the mind of the disciple is, my guru told me to do this, now it's my guru's fault.
因为如果一个 guru, 他这个给门徒直接在物质方面的这个生活的指点的话，一旦是出现了什么问题、什么错误，这个门徒很可能这个第一反应就是说，是我的 guru 让我这样去做的，现在出问题了，一定是我 guru 的这个问题，是他的错误。
And we will see with the story of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is not going to tell Mugrari how to earn a living. He's going to tell him how to chant.
那我们接下来要看到的 Narada Muni 和 Mugrari 的这个故事，并不是说这个 Narada Muni 他就教这个 Mugrari 这个猎人怎么样去维生了，他教他的是怎么样去念诵圣名。
So there has been in the past some huge mistakes made by devotees who wanted to invest a lot of money into businesses, and they asked the guru for permission. The guru gave permission, and then the whole financial scheme collapsed, and then they lost faith.
那之前呢，其实有过一些这样子不好的这个先例，就是说有一些奉献者，他们想做很大的这个物质上的大笔的投资，所以他们就去询问灵性导师，我可不可以投资？而灵性导师允许他们这样做了。当他们这么去做的时候，最后应该是惨败收场。所以是在这个时候，他们也就对自己的灵性导师说失去了信心了。OK， 下一个问题来自于吴秀红，顶拜孤立莲花组，顶拜奉献者们 ，Hare Krishna， 感恩精彩的讲课。在世时还在吃鱼肉蛋的人，下世会投身人类呢？人类吗 ？Please accept my humble obeisances. Those who are still eating fish, meat, and eggs, will they take birth as human beings in their next life?
It's hard to say. They could, or maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe not.
这个很难说了。有可能他们能投身为人，也有可能没法投身为人 ，because they do other things.
Maybe they'll take birth as human beings to suffer as human beings, or they take birth as animals. It's hard to say. Nature is very, very complex.
就是因为这种大自然的这种安排是非常的错综复杂的，不是这么简单的就能判断的。那这个人他也做了很多其他的这种事情，有可能他下意识是投生为人了，但是非常的惨，非常的痛苦，那也有可能就直接投生为动物了，这两种可能性都会有。 OK, so she continues to ask, if someone keeps on eating meat, fish, and eggs, will she still remain be happy and healthy in this lifetime?
Who?
The same devotee asking this question.
If what?
The fish, egg, and meat eaters, is it possible that they still remain happy and healthy in this lifetime?
Yeah, they're happy like the fish out of the water.
对，你可以说他们可能会有快乐，但是这个就好像是离开了水的鱼一样。
The
This happiness is a very relative term. They may be happy, but this is very temporary happiness.
他们也许看上去蛮快乐，但是快乐是一个非常这个相对性的一个概念，这种快乐可能是稍纵即逝的，就是很短暂的，就不知道以后会发生什么。Second. 顶拜guru和翻译请问guru联谊的目的是什么？有些奉献者会鞠躬自傲，让别的奉献者不舒服，这样的联谊还会有意义吗？ My question is, what's the purpose of association? Some devotees will try to take all the credit onto himself, making other devotees very uncomfortable. Is there any meaning of this kind of association?
You see, there is a pattern here.
你会看到呢，我们这里有一种思维模式，一种模式。
This is the third question today
related to
about association and the defects of association.
你看，今天我们这个已经是第三个问题了，就是指出的这个关于联谊的这个问题，以及联谊当中可能有的弊病。
And to me, this is the confirmation that there is a huge need for devotees to make spiritual advancement.
所以呢，就是光是通过这一点，我觉得我们就可以推理出来了，奉献者们的确还有进步的极大空间。
Devotees need to be mature. They need to go deeply into the chanting. They need to go deeply into the scriptures, so they can understand what is a devotee. And what is the value of devotee association?
但我觉得奉献者们呢，需要有很大的这个空间，需要去切实的努力，深入到这个念诵当中，深入到这个经典的这个学习当中，然后你才会更深的明白奉献者意味着什么，跟奉献者的联谊的价值在哪里。
That I am not coming over to the association to have a clash of egos.
就是我大老远的跑到这里来参加一个联谊，并不是为了要面对那种假我的纷争和冲撞的。
The purpose of association is to hear together, to chant together, to take prasadam together, and to serve together.
联谊的目的呢？ 它的本身的这个意义就是在于一起去念诵、唱诵，一起去这个学习经典，一起去聆听，一起去荣耀菩萨的，一起去做奉献服务，这才是联谊的意义。There's
no room for anything else.
就是这是唯一的联谊的这个意义，没有其他的这个掺杂在里面。
If you have kirtan together, if you take prasadam together, if you hear about Krishna together, you won't have any space to start talking about your false ego.
所以如果说在联谊的时候，大家都沉浸在唱诵、念诵之中，然后在聆听有关 Krishna 的这些话题，逍遥时光，荣耀菩萨的一起。 齐心协力的做奉献服务，那根本就没有什么机会再去闲言碎语去谈些别的东西了。嗯。OK. So the purpose of the association is to purify and get.
No, the purpose of association is to be Krishna conscious.
就是联谊的这个目的，就是为了 Krishna 直觉，为了提升我们的 Krishna 直觉。 下一个问题，顶拜guru感谢翻译我的问题是：今天早上丈夫要吃炖鸡，我不吃，我也不想让我的孩子们吃，但是我阻止不了。我该怎么去处理这样的矛盾？我想帮我的孩子，丈夫他不相信我已经和家人生活的不和谐，饮食起居。So she gives a description of the scenario from this morning at home. This morning, my husband wants to eat chicken. I didn't want to eat, and I didn't want the children to eat, but I couldn't stop them from doing that. How can I deal with this kind of conflict? I want to help my husband and the children, but my husband doesn't trust me. So the inharmony starts with all these simple things in life, like diet and habit in life. So what can I do?
I have answered that question before, and that is,
become an excellent cook.
之前呢，类似的这个问题我回答过，我的回答就是说，你要努力成为一个优秀的好厨师。
And surprise them with absolutely stunning prashada.
你要让那些让人赞叹不绝的这个 prashada， 来给他们惊艳一下。
If you have the time and the energy and the desire, just concentrate on becoming an absolutely excellent cook, so they won't have any desire to eat anything else but what you cook.
那你如果要有这种强烈的愿望，要改变这种局面的话，那你就好好的研究一下，花功夫，花精力，让自己把这个 prashadam 做好。做得非常的好，使得他们完全的被你的 prashadam 所吸引，他们对于其他的任何东西都已经没有了这个欲望了，这个是改变他们的唯一的方式。
And that message is valid for every single devotee in the Chinese Yatra who is married to people who are meat eaters.
对啊，就是说对于中国所有的就是他们的配偶还在吃肉不是素食者的奉献者来说，我的这个信息就是说，你们要自己的学会做出非常好的这个 prashada， 这个信息是对你们每一个人都适用的。 OK， 下一个问题来自于志敏，对 Krishna 纯粹的爱，那是不是意味着抛弃丈夫的爱，对家人的爱，只追求灵性呢？ Does pure love for Krishna means that you give up your love for your husband and your family members, and spirituality is the only object of your seeking?
No.
不是这样的，不是你说的这样。
Pure love means pure love for Krishna. This is you and Krishna.
纯粹的爱呢，就是指的是对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱，这只发生在你和 Krishna 之间。
So when you develop pure love for Krishna, automatically everyone else will benefit from it.
那当你培养了对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱的时候，你身边所有的人自然也都从中受益。
Giving up responsibilities of family, etc., is artificial.
抛弃这种家庭啊，还有种种其他的这种责任，这个是刻意而为的，是人为的。
We have to perform our duty.
我们一定要去坚持履行自己的职责。
And at the same time, develop our relationship with Krishna.
同时，与此同时去培养我们和 Krishna 之间的关系。
So these things take time, but they have to be done.
那当然了，这个是需要一些时间的。但是呢，这是我们必须要去做的。
We have one is mature enough as an adult to make a decision. I want to pursue the path of bhakti yoga, which will give me pure love for Krishna. But at the same time, I can't turn my back on what I have already started.
就是一个人，他如果是已经是一个成人，而且他有足够的这种成熟度的话。他应当能够非常清楚地明白，是的，我要去追寻对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱，培养对 Krishna 纯粹的爱。但是与此同时，我也不抛弃我的物质的职责，我不抛弃对家人的这种爱。因为是一个成熟的人，他应当懂得在这两者之间的平衡和并行。
And we have to take this as a golden opportunity to actually become closer to Krishna than ever before.
就是说我不轻易的去放弃我本身已经开始做的事情，换句话说，这个家庭是你一开始已经开始做的，那么你就不随便的去放弃了，而且你要把你现在的这种局面，就是家庭的这种局面，看成是一个非常好的自我进化的机会。
What you may see as an obstacle to the development of your bhakti can actually be an opportunity.
所以说呢，你觉得你去培养这个 bhakti 奉爱的这条道路上的那些障碍，可能正好是可以成为你的催化剂的。
Otherwise, what do you do? You just pack your bag and walk out of the family. Where do you go? What do you do?
不然的话，难道意思就是说你那个整理行装，这个打包离开家， 那你离开家了之后，你要到哪里去呢？你想好了没？
And then you live a life of guilt.
然后你这一辈子都是在一种, 愧疚的这种心理之下生活。
Very, very artificial.
难道是这样吗? 如果是这样做的话, 这是很不自然的。
You have to be very, very patient.
所以说你必须要非常的有耐心。
So you have to chant Hare Krishna, you have to read Prabhupada's books, you have to take prasadam. And at the same time, fulfill your responsibilities.
所以说呢，你必须要坚持去念诵， 去阅读经典，去荣耀， Prasada， 然后与此同时，你也要去履行自己的家庭职责。 OK， 悟道，Guru的训教训很有道理，我深深的顶拜Guru的莲花座，要时刻谨记Guru的教诲，感恩Guru，感恩翻译。 So she, this is a response from the devotee who asked the first questions, how to get along with the devotees during the association. So she said, your instruction makes a lot of sense, perfect sense. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. I will remember your teachings. And thank you very much. Thank you, the translator.
You're welcome.
And also another question from the same question, from the person who asked questions before. 顶拜咕噜感恩翻译，我自己感受到了生活的苦，感受到身边的人在这个物质世界经受业力、恶报体验的各种苦。我自己感觉活着就是苦，想要求解脱。可是我还有丈夫，还有三个孩子，我如何想退出家庭？我是不是不对？还有我对丈夫还有什么责任吗？ I can deeply feel the sufferings from the life, and I also feel that the people around me is also undergoing all sorts of pains and sufferings from their karmic reactions in this material world. I feel that living in this world means suffering, and I really want to get liberation. However, I still have a husband and three children. So should I just get out of the family? If I think like that, it must be wrong or not. So do I still have some responsibility for my husband?
What I recommend you do is, now it's winter, so it's cold in China.
我想给你一个建议，你看现在是冬天，所以说呢，这个中国还是非常冷的。
But I would say around April, May, when the weather is nice.
我想说呢，明年开春到了四五月份的时候。
You book a train ticket.
你订买一张火车票。
And you go either to Inner Mongolia or you go to Tibet.
你可以买上这个火车票，然后到内蒙或者到西藏去。
And you just take one little bag with you.
然后呢，你就拿一个小包就行了，什么都别带。
And before you leave, you leave a note on the dining table and you say, it was nice meeting you all.
然后在你离开离家出走之前，你在桌子下面留一张条，上面写着，今生遇到你们非常的高兴。
I hope you like that proposal.
我给你这个建议，我希望你会非常高兴的接受。
And make sure you don't take a phone with you.
还有一个就是手机就别带在身上了。
And don't tell anyone where you are.
也不要告诉任何人你现在在哪里。
Then you will understand that this material world is all suffering.
然后你就真的能体验到这个物质世界真的是非常的苦的。
Is that good?
你觉得我这样的建议好吗？
Or would you prefer to spend the rest of your life with your children who love you, and your husband who loves you, and you have the responsibility as a mother to give them as much love as no one else can give?
那另外一种选择就是说，你这余生都跟你的三个孩子。 这些非常爱你的孩子们在一起，和爱你的丈夫在一起，然后你给予这些孩子们一个除母亲之外不能给他们的爱，就给予他们充分的这个母爱，然后这样去生活。So
stay home.
所以你要留在家里。
Be a good wife.
做一个好妻子。
Be a good mom.
做一个好妈妈。
And be a good devotee.
然后做一个好奉献者。
And you'd be surprised how much progress you can make in Krishna consciousness.
那么到时候呢，你的 Krishna 知觉会获得巨大的这个进步，甚至会让你感到吃惊。
Because don't forget that your three kids and your husband are also part of Krishna.
你千万不要忘了，你的三个孩子还有你的丈夫也是 Krishna 的一部分。
So giving them up is as good as giving up Krishna.
如果你把他们抛弃了、放弃了的话，这个就好比是放弃了 Krishna 一样。
Somehow or other, these four living entities came into your life.
就不知怎么的。这个四个生命就来到你的生活之中。
Krishna is in their hearts.
Krishna 也在他们的心中。
So learn to make the connection.
所以你要学会怎么样把他们和 Krishna 连接在一起。
Don't try to be a sannyasi.
不要试图成为一个 sannyasi， 就是弃绝的托钵僧。
Just be a normal person who happens.To practice Krishna consciousness.
你就做一个有幸修习 Krishna 知觉的一个普通人吧。
If you see it in that angle, you will feel very happy.
如果你能够从这样的一个角度去看待你的处境的话，你会快乐起来的。
So next time you see your three kids, look at them and say, "Wow, Krishna sent me some amazing people."
那下一次当你看到了你的三个孩子的时候。你要对自己说啊 ，Krishna 这么的仁慈，把这三个那么可爱的孩子送到了我的生命之中。
That's it.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
That's all the questions we have. 那我们今天的问题就全部都回答完了。
Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Shrimati Radha Mataji.
非常感谢所有的奉献者。
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Shrimati Radha Mataji 的主持，还有感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees who are very eager to become mature in Krishna consciousness.
感谢所有的致力于 Krishna 知觉中的成熟的奉献者。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Gita Jayanti ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
麦昆达之音服务员玉林。听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的《Chaitanya经》是《Chaitanya Charitamrita》的讲课就到这里结束了，我们下周同一时间再见。刚才我看到了又有一个新的问题，那这个问题我们留到下周的第一个问题来回答。Hare Krishna. There's another question.
Yeah.